newest member, Senator Will, I mean Senator Corton.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I just want to remind you that Carolyn Oakley will not be able to join us today to give her informational meeting. She called yesterday and said that she was ill and couldn't make it down for yesterday or today.
Yeah, we are sorry to hear that she's ill. We would have enjoyed having a chance to have her address us, and if we get the opportunity again, I'll certainly see that it takes place. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 9.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we've heard this bill on several occasions on the 3rd and the 12th of March. This bill, Senate Bill 9, would allow an employer to provide coverage under an employee-sponsored health plan to an officer or an employee while that person is absent on military leave. At our last hearing, we discussed the Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments, and since then, we've drafted four additional amendments, and they are attached to the staff measure summary at your desk. And let me briefly summarize each of the amendments. The Dash 1, on top of the original bill, would cover call-ups for state active duty, and participation in this measure would remain optional for state and local employees. The Dash 2 would apply to state and federal call-ups. Participation would be mandatory for state employees only, and local employees would not be covered by the measure. The Dash 3 amendment is similar to the Dash 1, but adds an emergency clause. The Dash 4 is similar to Dash 2, but adds an emergency clause. The Dash 5 would apply to state and federal call-up. Participation would be mandatory for state employees. Local employee participation would be optional, but this also has an emergency clause. And finally, the Dash 6 amendment applies to state and federal call-up. Participation would be mandatory for state employees. However, coverage would be limited to 1 year only. Local employee participation would be optional, and an emergency clause is added. Let me remind you that we do not have a fiscal impact statement for any of these amendments. But we have a couple of people in the audience who are familiar.
Okay. Colonel Caldwell, would you come up and give your testimony, and also Shalee Honeywell?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Colonel Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department, and we appreciate the committee's indulgence and certainly their patience in dealing with this important issue. Thank Senator Courtney for his effort to get this thing going, and certainly the committee's indulgence to try to improve it. I would tell you that the amendment number 6, I think, is the whole ball of wax and does pretty much what we would like to see done, which provides for the employee spouses and for the guards or the reservist guardsmen, the called up individual, their spouses for a 12-month period, and makes it mandatory for the state, allows the local government to do if they choose. They can do it, and also adds emergency clause so it takes effect and actually has meaning. I think we heard testimony at the last time we met that in the fiscal impacts, and I'm certainly no expert in that arena, but it's from my experience as a deputy director, I can tell you that every employee we have, we've already budgeted for that employee. So it's not an additional cost. It's already budgeted funds. The funds are already in the program for each employee, so it's a question of the real impact is whether you save money or you spend what you budgeted. It's not necessarily an increase.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, I'd be more than willing to try to answer them. But we would prefer 6.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. How would you feel about a Dash 7 amendment? That would, after 1 year, make it optional. Oh, I'm sorry. Participation is mandatory for state employees, and coverage is limited for 1 year. And I would, I guess, insert optional after a year. There will be people who will be gone more than 1 year. Not, we don't know how many. I see no reason, if we're going to kind of meet this thing halfway to have it optional after the end of the year. And then you can think of, well, are these people going to be back in 2 months? Or is it going to be, you know, I mean, then make a decision about the continued coverage. So that would be my suggestion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Morissette, clearly that, you know, that widens the scope even further. And I think there's a couple of issues I would just put out here that you may want to consider. One is that if you go over that year, you're going to probably go, at some point, you're going to go out of the biennium, and then you could legitimately argue that there is a fiscal impact that's beyond what's already been budgeted. That's one issue, but again, that's still a nefarious kind of a deal to begin with. It's squeezy. But secondly, if we look at our situation today, and I think this is what we're trying to address, is what's happening today. The federal government, in my mind, has not done the proper thing in taking care of spouses. I think that's really what's driven this issue, is that we know that the current statutory language federal code does not do the job that it should be doing. Now, there's also federal legislation out there right now that's being moved, and will probably be in effect in October. And I think it's going to do, in large part, correct this problem. It's not corrected today, and it probably won't be corrected until October before the new defense budget is passed, October, November. So if it became a situation where adding one more little thing may prevent some members from feeling comfortable about voting on this and voting positively and getting a 12-month, I would much rather take the 12-month and solve the problem today and hope that we can get it fixed with the federal side for October. That would be my advice.
And I will defer to your judgment.
In my position as a Spec 4 in the military, that was a very wise thing to say to a colonel.
Very good.
I did have a colonel refer to me as a wise PFC one time, and I don't know where he got that. But yeah. I said, yes, sir. Shelley, do you want to go ahead? And, or are you just here to answer questions?
Answer questions.
Okay.
Let me just...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Senator Courtney.
Chair Fisher, for the record, I am totally agreement. I think you and I have talked about this piece of legislation. I spoke with the Colonel General Caldwell prior to the meeting, and I do support the Dash 6 amendments. We've reached an agreement on that, and so to the extent that's the committee might wondering where I'm coming from, that those would be the amendments I would hope the committee might consider in terms of Senate Bill 9.
Okay.
We have another committee member.
I know, so you're telling me to leave now.
No.
Okay.
You're more than welcome to.
It's nice to have you here.
More than welcome to continue to join us here.
And as Ray Baum, it's very nice to have you out today.
Better stay around. We might need a carrier.
I'm not carrying any more bills after today.
You did a good job.
You did a marvelous job.
Senator Sarno, we've just been discussing Senate Bill 9 and the number 6 amendment.
Okay.
Have you had a chance to see the number 6 on?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Staff, would you mind kind of running over it?
Certainly. Chair Fisher, Senator Clarno, the Dash 6 amendment would make Senate Bill 9 apply to state and federal call-ups. Participation would be mandatory for state employees. However, coverage would be limited to 1 year only. Participation would be optional for local employees, and the Dash 6 adds an emergency clause to the bill.
That's local government employees.
Okay.
Well, this is another important
bill. Thank you. I will close the... Oh, excuse me, is there anyone else that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 9? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 9 and open a work session on Senate Bill 9.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Morissette,
I would move the Dash 6 amendments into Senate Bill 9.
Senator Morissette moves the Dash 6 amendments to Senate Bill 9. Is there a further discussion? Any dissenting? Seeing none, will the clerk call a roll?
Senator Brown, Senator Burdick, Senator Carno,
aye.
Senator Starr,
aye.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
Aye, and the motion carries. We now have Senate Bill 9 amended by the Dash 6 amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Morissette.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 9 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morissette moves Senate Bill 9 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown. Senator Burdick. Senator Carno.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Aye.
And Senator Fisher.
Aye. The motion carries. And
I would recommend that Colonel Harper carry this bill.
I would
defer to Senator Corton.
Could I make a suggestion? The chair is a veteran, and I would be honored if the chair would be willing to carry Senate Bill 9 if he feels comfortable doing that.
Oh, I'd be happy to have you do it. You've been the author and gone in a lot of trouble with it here.
Don't you understand?
It's okay. You do it.
Can we talk about it later, Chair?
I don't know. My committee administrator always makes sure that we have that handled before I crack the gavel.
I
nice.
If you want to saddle me with this, I'll.
Well, you don't want to carry it. I don't want you to do what you want to do. I thought it'd be an eye. I'd be all right to carry the bill.
I don't mind. I will carry the bill.
I thought Colonel Harper may outrank.
The motion carries, and we will close the work session on Senate Bill 9, and we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 143.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 143 changes the name of the Office of Children's Ombudsman to the Office of Children's Advocate. It transfers that office from the State Commission on Children and Families to the Department of Human Services, and it directs the office to maintain a phone line for public to voice their concerns regarding actions in the Department of Human Services related to child abuse. You do have the Dash 3 amendment that came to us from the agency, and it revises Section 5 of the original bill to clarify when and by whom the $1 fees are paid for birth certificates, adoptions, and divorces.
Okay. And we have Jen Dennison and Michael Reinflesch. I'll let you go ahead as you wish.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jen Dennison, the Administrator of the Governor's Advocacy Office and Children's Ombudsman Office at Department of Human Services. My office has fulfilled the role of the Children's Ombudsman since 1996 through an interagency agreement with the Commission on Children and Families. We are asking for this bill to be passed through kind of as a housekeeping measure. You may remember us last session because we attempted to do the same thing last session. We feel the commission, our office, and the other advocates that work with children's issues feel it would be much cleaner if it was moved to the Department of Human Services and not continue to have an interagency agreement to fulfill the duties of the Children's Ombudsman.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Chair.
Chair Fisher, members of the committee. For the record, I am Michael Reinflesch, the Policy and Data Analyst for the Commission on Children and Families, also referred to as the State Commission. I'm here today to represent the State Commission in support for the passage of Senate Bill 143, which transfers the Office of Children Ombudsman from the State Commission to the Department of Human Services. During the last three biennium, the State Commission has entered into an interagency agreement with the Department to provide these services.
Okay.
And this initial agreement has been very successful in our eyes and in the eyes of the folks at DHS. It was created at the time that we did not have the staff capacity or expertise to provide the most effective services in the area of advocacy for a review of issues around child abuse. Up to this point, DHS has performed in accordance with the agreement and has provided for strong collaboration by the Ombudsman's Office with various divisions throughout DHS concerning child abuse issues. The interagency agreement has really provided us with an opportunity to focus on our primary prevention services and practices, while at the same time providing a single point of contact for citizens of Oregon to discuss child abuse issues within DHS, who really has the ability, the strength, and the staff to deal with those issues. We anticipate that the transfer, if this bill passes, would be very successful, would meet and serve the needs of the citizens of Oregon, and DHS will continue to effectively provide those advocacy services as we see those. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today, and if there's any additional questions, I'd be happy to answer those at this time.
We have a subsequent referral on this with Ways and Means. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this bill, should it pass or not pass, is inclusive in Senator Winter's ombudsman bill. So I think that's probably why it does have the referral to Ways and Means. There is no budget impact or fiscal impact on this bill. It's just a housekeeping measure. The dollars, there would be no additional dollars related to this bill as it is.
Will it go down there and then never see the light of day again? is this something that will... I would be willing to ask to have the Ways and Means reference rescinded, but do we need to do this for Senator Winter's benefit?
When I last spoke with the Senator, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, she was comfortable that if this bill passed, it's fine. It will still be rolled into her bill because she has listed in her bill all of the ombudsman functions for the state. So it would be inclusive in her bill, whatever you choose to do with this committee.
Excuse me.
Yes, Senator Morrison.
Thank you. And if it doesn't pass, it's still going to be rolled into her bill, right?
You got it.
Good. Okay.
Well, done one way or another.
Man, I like these decisions with second opinion. You heard about the fellow that was told he had cancer? And he says, Doctor, I want a second opinion. And the doctor said, looked at him and said, well, you're ugly, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Nothing to do with this bill, though.
No. I don't have a problem with the amendment. Meets the needs for the necessary transfer and collection of funds or wherever they go.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The past language, when we reviewed it this time around, we looked at it and found that there was not an initial fee for registering birth certificates, so we had to clean up the language just a little bit, and that's what that amendment does do.
Okay. Now, does this relieve your office of some responsibilities and put that on someone else's desk, or do you just go to another section of government to do what you've been doing forever?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I continue to get to do this. It's with or without passage of this bill so far, we'll continue to provide this function.
All right. I would then, anyone else wish to testify on Senate Bill 143? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and go to a work session on Senate Bill 143.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Morrison.
I would move... Do we have an amendment?
Yes.
I would move the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 143.
Senator Morrison moves the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 143. Further discussion? Comments? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick? Senator Farno?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Morrison?
Aye.
Senator...
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I would
Senator Morissette.
Senate Bill 143 to the Ways and Means Committee.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay, with a due pass?
With a due pass, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Senator Morissette to move Senate Bill 143 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Yes, Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am curious, I guess, why we are doing this when we were told that it didn't make any difference. They were going to roll it in anyway. But not to delay the process any, I will go ahead and vote yes and send it down to Ways and Means.
Well, the thought crossed my mind, too, but we had it here and we're halfway through the process. I figured it just as well. at least put our recommendation on it. Senator Burdick, we have got Senate Bill 143 in front of us with the Dash 3 amendment accepted, which makes certain that the $1 fee for the birth certificate goes to the right place and is collected in the right manner and so forth. Yes. Right. All right, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Clarno?
Aye.
Senator
Starr?
Aye.
Senator Marsden?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And we don't have to have a carrier on this one, so we're. The motion passes, and I'll close the hearing on the public work session on Senate Bill 143. And without objection, I am going to go back and reopen the work session on Senate Bill 9 so that Senator Brown can vote. And Senator Burdick, would you like to vote on that also?
On Senate Bill 9?
Yes.
We did this, Dash 6 amendments.
I'll go to the work session.
It does.
Senator Brown, do you wish to vote on both the amendment and the bill, or just the bill?
The bill is fine. Right. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Mary Jo, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Senator Courtney was here and passed his blessing on it, along with Colonel Caldwell. And
on the Dash 6?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That was their recommendation. And it was unanimous here in committee with the four of us, so.
I think it's a good choice, Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Senator Burdick, how do you vote?
Aye.
We have now recorded those votes, and again, it was a unanimous verdict, and so we appreciate your helping us out on this bill.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I will close the public or the work session on Senate Bill 9 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 803.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 803 reduces the number of covered employees and retirees required for self-insurance of a health insurance by individual public bodies other than school districts, community college districts, or community college service districts.
Okay. We have Scott Moss and Doug Riggs with us today.
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Doug Riggs, and very much appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I'll let Scott give the details of the bill, but we appreciate Senator Brown's sponsorship of this bill. Senator Bruce Starr is also a co-sponsor of the bill. We've been working on this issue for three sessions. As you may recall, in 1999, it was a bill supported by Deschutes County, and we worked with them to reintroduce the bill last session. We had a number of debates during the session, a hearing late in the session, didn't quite get around to passing it, so we made an attempt to come back again and make sure that we had sign off from the people who testified in the past, and we believe that we have their approval. So I'd like to introduce Scott Moss with Metro, and he's going to talk a little bit about what the bill does and why it would help Metro.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to come testify on behalf of this bill. Again, I'm Scott Moss, the Assistant Director of Administration for Metro and the Risk Manager for that agency. Metro and other governments want to provide quality health care and benefits to our employees and families, but this is getting more expensive. It's challenging, and the insurance rates are propelling higher, with seemingly no increase to the cost of health care. And Metro's experience is that our health care rates have doubled in just the last 4 years. We are taking aggressive steps to minimize the cost, to reduce the cost by increasing deductibles and by reducing benefits and more cost sharing with our employees. But Metro and other local governments seek for the same tools that private businesses have. One of those tools, it would be the opportunity to self-insure for our medical and dental insurance. Now, self-insurance is not the same thing as not having insurance. There would still be stop-loss insurance to cover catastrophic losses, and Metro would continue to provide Kaiser as an option for our employees. There are strict rules in government applying to self-insurance is set out by GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board, that requires sufficient reserves to be maintained for known and unknown claims. The advantages of self-insurance is a lower cost to the agency. We feel like it would increase competition. We are out for getting proposals this year for our medical insurance, and again, we only expect to get two. There's just not much competition out there for medical insurance, and this would provide us greater opportunity to get competition. And then it allows us greater flexibility to design our insurance, medical insurance, and dental insurance to meet the needs of our employees. This bill would affect governments, local governments with over 500 employees. That would include the cities of Gresham, Hillsboro, and Beaverton, and counties of Jackson, Douglas, and Deschutes, and also the Port of Portland. We don't see self-insurance as a solution to the national crisis that we're in, but we do feel like it is a tool that local government would benefit from that private industry has had for a long time. Thank you again for letting me testify. If there's may answer any questions.
Okay.
It looks like you've done a pretty thorough job. I will close the public hearing. Does anyone else wish to speak on Senate Bill 803? I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 803 and open a work session on Senate Bill 803.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
I would move Senate Bill 803 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brown moves Senate Bill 803 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Any comments? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Farno?
Aye.
Senator
Starr?
Aye.
Senator
Aye.
Senator
Aye. The motion carries. Senator Brown, do you wish to be the carrier?
I'd be delighted.
All right. Motion carries, and Senator Brown is the carrier, and I will close the public or the work session on Senate Bill 803, and we're adjourned.
Oh,
wow.
That was began.
We didn't have Carolyn Oakley.
Yeah.
She got sick and bold us.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.